This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Yes, sir.
My name is Rayash. I'm 34. I'm daddy to two French bulldogs. I've been fortunate enough to live in a few continents, and I have been in finance for the last 11 years. How should I make the next move? I don't know what the next move is, whether it's being a comedian, writing a book, or investing all my money on being French born.
Well, the third one's clearly right.
How should I find inspiration, which I did find
before?
Different continents, right?
Yeah.
And every time I moved continents, like it was, I was born in India, raised in Australia, moved to the United States, every time it was a rough ride.
Yes.
Right, so let's say I make a move to be French one. I don't want, like, I'm scared of that roughness.
That's tough.
At the same time,
that's also different. Investing is not your behavior, meaning not like I love VFriends because I'm in charge. Like, the biggest reason I don't like buying other stuff is I'm not in charge. The reason I only buy CryptoPunks is it's the only one that I know that doesn't need anybody to do anything. It just is gonna trade on history. Whereas Bored Ape and Cool Cats and Goblins and Penguins and VFriends, it's all required on us, the operators. You know, like, so to me, going to a new country and establishing yourself and living life is a very different journey than being a passive investor in something, right? I think the writing a book and the comedy stuff excited me a lot more than VFriends, because that's you doing something. VFriends is you making a decision. Listen, I would also counter my own talk and tell you that so much of my wealth creation was betting on other things. You know, Facebook and Uber and Snapchat and like Twitter and like, I've done very well in that. When it's all said and done, I will absolutely make more by what I operated than by what I invested in. But I've won on both. I've lost in investing. I've never lost operating. And so I think that you've got to decide. For example, I am so uncomfortably convinced of how the VFriends thing plays out. I could also die tonight. And then it doesn't. I mean, it's just true. It's just true, right? So like, if God willing, I can operate this thing for the next, but the problem is it's not far enough along, right? So when I think about VFriends, if I can do this for 15 years, then I feel very comfortable. Then it's Marvel, then it's Disney, then it's established and operators can take it. Not even, anybody can take it. Bob Iger is not related to Walt Disney. Like, you can, you know, you can do things, but I still need at least 15 years to really set it for at least like what's going through my body as what this is gonna be. So I think the way you have to think about it, my friend, is what's the allocate, like, you know, look, sitting on cash versus investing it has been a proven model over, like, and so I think one needs to sit on enough cash for a rainy day. One should only invest money that they can afford to go to zero, because you have to, especially in something as high risk as NFTs. We're not talking about you investing in VaynerMedia stock where the ad industry has been around for 100 years. You still have to be empathetic that, obviously I believe in it, but it's too early. But I think that's the way you have to think about that. But as far as your part, I always tell people to do shit. Like, it's always the same thing. One of my favorite things that you've heard a million times, the reason I love saying you can't read about push-ups is it's just so easy to understand. Right, like, yeah, it's very hard to get the benefit. For some reason, people think you can get the benefit in other parts of their life, especially business, like, as if you just can't. So like, if it's comedy, like, make a comedy skit. Go and literally go to an open mic and try to do stand up. Like, if you don't do, you don't know, and you don't taste, right? That's what was so big about you tasting the TikTok. Like, that was out of necessity. That's why during COVID, more people took my advice than any other time ever, because they had no other choice. You know, right? Like, during the other time, yeah, it's consistently been good. Yeah. And I'll tell you why it's consistently good, because I only talk about shit that's already happened. There's no guessing. And so I think that for you, you've got to, I would try to start doing all those things. I would like literally start writing tomorrow. I would literally try to start doing comedy, either open mic or a piece of TikTok comedy skit. DM 100 people, back to the, I emailed you, Gary, email me 100 times. Like, DM 100 people that you think are good at, because you might be improv more than stand up. Well, then that means you need other people. Well, there's a million of those people on TikTok and Instagram making skits. One of them might want to do one with you. You know, and so,
thank you.
You're welcome.
About my French bulldogs and send it to you.
You know, even that, like, I also, something I'm very hot on, I want to triple down on, it's talk about back to books, crush it. I just wish people built more financial infrastructure around the things they actually like. It works so much more. It's just too hard to build like a career of meaning or a business of meaning on something you don't like. If you're just doing it for the money, it's got no shot long term. You could make money, plenty of people have, but like if you're gonna really do it and enjoy it back to happiness, like Alien Inc., like you gotta do it around something. And so like maybe it's around the French Bulldogs. Like I really think about that stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Two questions. Should I buy 120 of your new book that's gonna come out so I can get 10 bookings?
Well, that expired.
Well, new book.
Oh, jab, jab, jab. There will be no NFTification of that sales. It won't be, I'm not gonna go through that again. That's too much.
I'll start with the question first. So for me, how do you scale kindness? It would be the question. So the background for me is I relate to you a lot, and my family's from Korea, I'm from Korea, and we have a business together, my father and I, a restaurant in Boston.
Yes.
And a lot of the content that you put out with your, about your mother.
Yes.
Resonates a lot with me. I've spent a lot of my 20s, in mid-30s now, really understanding the traits that you talk about. Like I experienced that from day one to a decade and a half. And the thing that really gets me happy is spreading kindness.
Yes.
If you like, I want to scale it. I also want to retire my parents. They've given me everything.
Yes.
You know,
I know the game.
United States, and
yep.
I just want to give them everything.
Yes.
But also, I want to spread kindness. So it's kind of a hard thing to do. It's like.
Why do you think that's?
Because it's kind of like monetizing kindness.
I see.
You know, so how do you go about trying to be?
So it's funny because you've detached kindness from business.
But I've learned all my kindness through my business.
I respect that. But in the way you delivered your sentence, you separated them. Mm. Think about like how I think about it. I am like all in on entrepreneurship and business and flipping and all this. But for me, kindness is baked into the process. I would argue that the people that understand my scalability of kindness is far more the people on my team that actually work with me under the hood, even more than the people that follow me the closest. It all depends on how you want to define kindness, right? Scaling kindness, scaling anything to, it's back to earlier of like setting ambition. So if I asked you how many people you want to change their mind on kindness, 8 billion?
Yeah.
Good. Then it's completely based on how good of a communicator are you. Right?
Not as good as you.
Right. So right off the top, 8 billion is going to be very hard to think about. Like I actually want to go through this exercise since we have some time. Scaling kindness to me comes in all shapes and forms. My mom scaled kindness to like 6 people. Actually. For real. As you guys know, my dad wants to be in the content. You saw him at VCon for the ones that were there. My mom is super behind the scenes. Like, she legitimately scaled kindness to 25 people, actually. Like, we have a very small family. She has very few friends. I know my mom's life for the last 40 years. My mom has scaled kindness to 25 people. One of those people happened to be gifted with such a communication style and a marketing sensibility that he has gone on and scaled kindness to a far greater number. For my mom, I could be out here saying, I scaled kindness to 11 million people. My mom could literally take the point of view of, I've scaled kindness to 11 million and one people. And I think that's the journey you're gonna have to figure out if you're this passionate about it. What are you capable of? Because if you really want to scale it, if your first answer is intuitively your subconscious, the only way for you to do that is through media at scale, right? Like back to this store, Brian Delatorre, who I've had a relationship for 20 years. He still looks exactly the same, which blows my mind. Brian knows, because he was here super early, that like I was able to scale kindness here, you know, but there was only like 40 of us, and then our suppliers and like customers, and like it was 900 people if everything was at super scale, maybe 500, maybe 300. When I started transitioning and started making Wine Library TV, right, all of a sudden that number could grow. It also grew after I started to define it more clearly. If you look at my early content, I wasn't overtly trying to tell people what I actually was doing. I kind of wanted to build scale before because I also knew that it wasn't gonna work. I don't think most people that think that they're gonna be hardcore entrepreneurs think kindness is the equation. I don't think when I had no clout or leverage, if I came out on a platform of like, you're gonna make money on kindness, if nobody knew who I was or anything I accomplished or didn't have audience, it would have been much harder for me to land that. So I think you've gotta really think that through. But it's very achievable.
That's why I'm into 65 VF2s, and just like you invested in Facebook and Twitter, I'm putting that into your.
Well, look, I trust me. When I think about it, it's like my. If everything goes well, right, the best thing by far about this will be that so many people have supported me through the years in my whole life. There was nothing I could really do for that audience. Other than the most important thing, which was the emotional reframing of perspective, which is actually how life works. And I enjoy that so much, it continues to be my driving force.
I'll give a light question at the end, but first I just really want to thank you. I didn't really get NFTs a couple of years ago, and just didn't, you know, the whole life and same thing. And then I came across one of your videos, I think it was somebody else reposting you about a year ago, and it just clicked, like okay, this is what utility is, this is how you do it, right? This is where it could go.
Yes.
So I really got into it obsessively, just learning mostly. You know, of course I degened out a little bit.
Yes, of course.
Of course, but really I was learning, and I'm an attorney by trade. 8 years out, almost never brought in a client. Bounced from different firms, finding my way.
Yes.
And then I was like, holy shit! Like
this is my thing.
Web3, blockchain. It's an industry. It means 9 different areas of law. So that's a whole different thing. But
it does.
But I'm at a firm where I'm like, oh my god, I'm an associate. Finding partners on my website, cold calling them, being like, you do securities law, we should talk. You do IP law, we need to talk now. Like, all these kinds of things. And it came from, you know, helping me understand.
And it's impacted your career.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
Now, yeah, it's exactly
right. I keep telling a lot of people, they're like, I want to be in Web3. I got to do an NFT project. I'm like, do you know how to do an NFT project? They're like, no. I'm like, what do you do? They're like, I do PR. I'm like, do Web3 PR. Right, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are missing the opportunity in their life around Web3. They know, like almost everybody here knows, even today, forget about 18 months ago, you're way ahead of the world, but they don't see that it needs to fit them, not they need to fit it. And so I love I've gotten a lot of actually 30, 35 year old lawyers that this was this last year, the turning point in their career, because to your point, it really touches the law, you know, and a lot of stuff is still not defined.
Yep.
And I'm really happy for you. Like, I think you should double down.
Hey, Gary.
Hey.
Adrian or Edie here. I have a reliable rat because I had a pet rat that was very reliable.
That made it easy.
It was so easy. One, I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you for building this community. Everyone has fundamentally impacted my life in the last, 3 or 4 months.
Yep.
Second, my actual question is, I'm building a brand, the Shine Bright Club. This is my next, whether it's a side or main focus, next 25, 30 years, to fundamentally like help people remove the muck from their hearts and step into their magic. It's my life's work. So when I look at where I want it to be in 30 years, I can see that. And I'm working on chopping that up into like bite-sized pieces to make the moves and watching you and like other people how they do this. But what is your advice, or like how do you make those decisions of like, I'm gonna go here now and that's gonna make the biggest wave?
By knowing that they're never right. The reason most people can't make moves is because they think there's a right answer.
Okay. Okay, cool. Because I've been just putting stuff out there. Like, slowly, I've got a little bit of gear. You can go to shinebrightclub.com. I'm putting things out slowly.
It's that, right? It's when you have hunger, ambition, desperate want and need for something to happen, you start to get paralyzed by the thought of like what's right, what's wrong. You know, this is why, and we've mentioned it a couple times, there is nothing besides process.
Right.
The enjoy, like, when I said earlier that I'm as happy right now as I was 21 years down below, I don't believe most people believe me. I don't. I actually believe very few people believe me. I think the only people that believe me are the ones who found what they love the most in the world and have lived that. But I never believe anybody who's 25 believes it, because they haven't tasted it yet. I do believe somebody who's 45, who's been able to do something for 20 years that they've loved every second and have had declining or emerging success through it. But to me, it's just all the same. And what I always get worried about is that people don't realize that's it. It really, it's a very cliche, you know, saying, but almost everything in life that's real has some sort of cliche saying associated with it. Don't cripple yourself with like, am I making the right move? Will this work? Will this? What everyone's really saying is, will this thing that I decide to do likely get me there faster? They don't realize they're saying it, but that's what they're really saying. Whereas for me, it's irrelevant because I'm just doing. Like it's all just the same. And what I'm relying on is what's most interesting or what am I most curious about to do next? Not, will this help me succeed? Right? Like, it's a byproduct. Like, it's always the byproduct. I think for all of us, like all of us, and I've gotten to know a lot of you here through the years, like, you've got to really push yourself to know what the fuck you're actually saying. You know what I mean? Because I'm telling you, most people are not purebred entrepreneurs and know what the answer is. Right? And everyone struggles with that. They deep down know, like, I don't know how to build a business, but fuck, this feels like I'm building a business. Before you even go down that path, it's like really being really real with yourself. Not what you tell the community that you, like, this is now your family.
Yeah.
Forget about, like, do you have the strength to, even though that you know you've told them a bunch of stuff, people that you've known longer than them, me, the Discord, like really looking in the mirror and being like, okay, real talk. It's like, I always like doing that with myself. I'm like, this is me and you. There is nobody else. What do you really, like, what really gets you going? And what are you trying to accomplish? And not being scared of the things that seem yucky. Money seems yucky. Everything that's selfish, people that have good that they want to do are full of shit about it. And by not being full of shit about it, you can reverse engineer backwards. You understand?
Yes.
That. Because if you're like, I really am cool at 100K, all of a sudden, you could start saying, okay, if I can have people that I'm consulting for virtually at $500 a year, if I can get 20 of them, if I can get one-on-one counseling, like you can map something against a real number, instead it's just fucking gray.
I've actually been working sliding scale.
Good.
Because it's the impact, it's not the money, and I can pay my bills.
Well, if it's the impact, then it all is about content.
Yeah.
If it's the impact, it's content.
Yeah.
And it's content when platforms are viral. Like, it's fucking TikTok. Like, if it's the impact, make 4 TikToks a day. And talk, I think for everybody here, morning walk talk is a very unusual and important piece of content. Even like Chef responding, who's been following a long time, it's a place where I like am different than any other place, because it truly is complete random stream of conscious of that day, which takes me into places that even my normal content doesn't take me. And I think that's replicatable for everybody. You just talk about anything.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.